On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
And a very good morning. Welcome along to Going Greyhounds, this third day of April. Of course, that means that we are into our Golden Easter Egg series. It kicked off last Wednesday evening with Heats of the Magic Maiden, and then on Saturday night it was the official commencement of the series with 10 heats of New South Wales' richest race being run, and Strike a Light continued her love affair with Wentworth Park, and she ran a 29.67 best of night throughout the heats. A little bit later in the program, we'll speak with Glenn McKinley, a hobby owner and trainer who's having a great run at the moment with Royal Turbo, who took out Heat 7 on Saturday evening. As far as feature race results are concerned, it's also a big time in Victoria. We had the Group 2 launching pad heats kicking off there on Thursday evening. Nature's Gent for Jason Thompson was the fastest, running 29 and 31. Semi-finals of that race, which is worth $140,000 to the winner on Thursday week, they will get underway this Thursday evening, as well as semi-finals of the consolation. We'll also speak with Dean Swain shortly about Shockwave, who ran very quick time in the Magic Maiden heats at Wendy on Wednesday evening. Dave Pringle had a night out there preparing three winners of the Magic Maiden series, and the Group 3 new sensation kicks off this Wednesday night as well. But in latest news, last week the New South Wales government announced a $41 million package for the New South Wales greyhound racing industry to be spent over 5 years. Around $31 million will be used for infrastructure development for the industry, and the way those funds will be spent will be determined by the new commercial board and also the new CEO when they come into power. The remaining $10 million will be utilised for the establishment of a integrity commission for the New South Wales greyhound racing industry. Floods have again decimated some tracks around New South Wales and Queensland. Lismore has again felt the brunt of it, with that track being completely engulfed with water. And with that, a number of trainers, they've felt enormous pain, not only with their properties being severely damaged, but in a few instances, the unfortunate loss of some greyhounds. So our thoughts are with people, particularly up there in the Northern Rivers area, as far as the floods are concerned. But as I said, it was a big night at Wenty on Saturday night. It was a big night last Wednesday night because we got to see some very, very promising young pups go around. And one of those is a greyhound by the name of Shockwave, prepared by Dean Swain, who joins us now on Going Greyhounds. Morning, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, Duke. How you going?
I'm well, thanks, mate. This pup had a bit of a reputation going into its first race start at Wendy last week. You've given it a couple of performance trials, one at Gosford where it ran 29.94 and then 30 and 42 at Wenny. Trimmed that up really nicely to run 29.84. I imagine it's always a pup that's shown you plenty since you first started educating it.
Yeah, well, definitely. Well, I got it from Michael Ivers at a young age. Normally Michael would, you know, prepare him earlier and get him up to around over 20 months of age and even give him a start sometimes and hand him to me. But he said with this girl, he said when she broke in, he said, I think she's so special. He said, you might be best just to take her straight away. And when he said that to me, he certainly made me excited. You know, I thought, well, if anyone knows what they're talking about, it's Michael. So, from day dot, virtually from the moment I first started trialing her, she's just been outstanding, and she really has, you know. And she's shown an incredible amount of promise. And we actually decided to give it to hold her back for this maiden. Generally, I don't hold dogs back, you know what I mean? And she was going so well, but we give her a little bit of a layup and then, you know, pre-prepared the preparation for this race in mine. And I schooled her around Wentworth Park quite a lot. And she showed, you know, what she can do the other night. And I really think she'll go a lot quicker, to tell you the truth.
Dino, what's her best attributes, mate?
Yeah, well, look, she's got an unbelievable turn of speed in a second section. She really takes off. She's not the greatest of beginners, you know, but I'd say after three or four strides, she really burns like she showed the other night. And so that's the only concern I have for her is that, you know, I mean, the first 20-odd metres that, you know, some dog don't go left or right or hit her or clean her up. But if that don't happen and she's just left with a bit of room to move, she really takes off. And the second section's brilliant and she still gets a line pretty strong as well. She got home in 11.82, I think. And you know, she's pretty much got it at both ends. Yeah.
inside, outside boxes. I mean, she had box number 7 last Wednesday evening. The box draw for the semi-finals, the Magic Maiden, will be out later this afternoon. What are you hoping for as far as the draw is concerned?
I prefer to be drawn wide, to tell you the truth. Being in these maiden races, sometimes you can find yourself in a bit of trouble over in the fence. She proved that she can handle herself out wide. She hunted up real quick. She didn't attempt to cross. She showed, virtually the right thing to do from an outside box. So I thought that the way she handled it, certainly must be likely to be there again. And so she can type of stay out of trouble, Duke. If she can do that and put herself in a good position at the first turn, well, she'll take off and it'll be very hard to beat.
As you said, you don't like holding dogs back because it's quite often the case that when you do it, something comes unstuck. But as I said in the preamble, she's obviously shown you, plenty on the track, early doors as far as, setting her up for this race is concerned. And it's a similar line that was taken like with Stars of Light and Stars of Smiling. I think they both went around in the Magic Maiden last year, Dino.
They did with Michael. Michael, he put them around just for experience. But we always had, obviously the staying in mind with them. This bitch we have here, Michael actually purchased her off Dennis and Bev Marnie. It's a rare one for Michael because Michael obviously breeds. He needs no introduction the way he breeds group winners. He bought her and a few of her sisters in that litter. Obviously, he liked the line. It's a prolific producing line with Dennis and Bev having. And he took special liking to Blue Bitch, which is Shockwave. So he showed that he doesn't need to breed them. He can purchase them as well, Michael. He's got the touch of luck there, that's for sure.
She's out of resemblance, which is out of resigning. And resigning was a very, very good bitch for Dennis and Bev Marnie, as she said. More so, she's by poor licking, Dino, and we know what sort of a sprinter he was. He was absolute top class, and we've seen it in the past. He's injected a lot of speed into it. With her, as you say, her back and middle sections are absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the line's very strong. I think from memory, resigned or whatever, she won an Association Cup or Sydney Cup or something like that. And Michael's even suggested to me, he said down the track, he said it wouldn't surprise him if Shockwave could stay. I said, mate, I said, if she could stay, we've got something special. I said, tell you what, but I would really love to believe that. I mean, look, at this stage, we're going to target obviously this maiden and plenty of other big ones to come, if that eventuates, I don't know, but Paul Licking being such a brilliant sprinter that he was, it'd be hard to imagine that, she'd be a stayer. But, if she goes to Dennis's line, she could. Who knows in the future, but I've got too many stayers.
you can never have enough good stayers, mate. We know that. Listen, we know the Magic Maiden is a series that throws up very good pups. Black Bear Lee won, and he, of course, went on to be top class as well. The new sensation, you've got Techno going around in that. You won it last year with Tilly's Boy. Techno bounced back to form at his last start there.
Yeah, look, Techno's had quite a few bad boxes, Wentworth Park. He loves the outside. He absolutely, he relishes box 8. He goes lovely, nice and straight and shows the speed that he has and cuts him off. Generally, he ran an enormous race at Maitland the other day. He's a young dog with a big motor and he's already won quite a few around Wenny and he's really well experienced around there. He's very different than Tilly's Boy. Tilly's Boy had an incredible, first section and he'd come out like a bullet. He's always hard to beat, and so he's going into it as a different dog than Tilly's, but he's certainly got the ability to be competitive throughout the series, definitely. I'd love to win it twice. That'd be good, but he'll be in there having a crack, that's for sure.
And, of course, Saturday evening kicks off the heats of the Group 1 Association Cup and Stars of Light and Stars of Smiling. I imagine they'll be in that, as well as Miss Foxy Lee.
Yeah, Stars of Smiling won't be. She split a toenail in the last race in half and she's out having a bit of a break. Stars of Light, I purposely kept her out this week for the Association Cup, obviously. In the Gold Cup final, her and Miss Foxy Lee done nothing but cut at one another the whole way, two front runners have just brought me undone, in that final. But hopefully they don't draw each other this week. So it'll be Miss Foxy Lee and Stars of Light. But Stars of Light, I really believe, it's got a second and none chance to win the Association Cup. I think that she's a young bitch that keeps improving and can run the time and she can lead and still, hit the line as well. And actually just trailed her this morning and she just went incredible, to tell you the truth. And she'll just have one more slip now and lead up to that. And and she'll go right on song for the heats and hopefully make her way through to the final.
Front running stays, mate. We all love them. We all love to have them in the kennels as well. Listen, best of luck with Shockwave on Wednesday evening in the Magic Maiden semis, Techno, and then, of course, the stays going around in the Association Cup heats on Saturday night.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk soon, Duke.
Dean Swain there on Going Greyhounds, and he's been on a roll lately. Well, he's been on a roll for probably 12 or 18 months and just continues to train winner after winner, one of the terrific young guys in greyhound racing. Timmy Newbowl joins us on Going Greyhounds this morning to talk at Golden Easter Egg. Morning, Timmy.
Yeah, good morning, Jude.
Tell you what, they were cracking heats on Saturday night. I just want to run through these names with you. Invictus Rapid, Night Sprite, Pantera Nera, Penny Minnelli, Blazin' Bomber, Fanta Bale, Aston DB, Eminent Reality, Buck 40. It's how good a series is. Not one of those greyhounds got through.
Just shows the strength of the Golden Easter Egg this year, Duke. When the heats came out last Monday night and I was going through the form, I was it was a mouth-watering time of doing the form, actually, because you love seeing all these, high-speed greyhounds, the best in the country, coming up against each other. And as far as a punting point of view is concerned, they were great punting races because there was only one odds-on favourite in Ando's Mac throughout the night, so they were great betting affairs all the way through the evening. It was a crackerjack night of greyhound racing.
Yeah, we also have to make mention of Brad Hill Billy, who was drawn to race in the series but succumbed to injury, and Ray Marie Smith have pulled the pin on his career, and he was such an honest chaser for them. Timmy finished second in the Golden Easter Egg final last year behind Marrera. He now stands at stud.
Yeah, he was a grand campaigner, wasn't he? He'd just aim up each and every week in just normal free-for-all races at Wentworth Park, and then he'd poke around a few of the bush tracks, and then he'd step up to the 600 or even had a crack at the 700 metres there a few times as well. He did it over the sprint and the longer journeys, and he just continued to aim up each and every week. You'd love to have a Brad Hill Billy in the backyard racing around each and every week for you, but he was a marvellous greyhound. And as you said, he finished runner-up in the Golden Easter Egg last year, and he only went down narrowly. It was about a head or a neck margin behind Marrera. He nearly won that elusive Group 1, but he was a great performer.
Let's talk about this year's series. The heat winners on Saturday evening, Mac Tux in 29.78, Uphill Jewel 29.82, Shimmer Song 30.05, Wicked Warrior in 29.99, Strike a Light set the time standard running 29.67, Star Tirana wound back the clock at a 50-1 shot running 30.09, Royal Turbo 30.05, Nengar Bear in 29.71, the same time for Falcon's Fury, and then Topper Toretto speared out in the last to run 29.81. To me, the one thing we both love, a greyhounds with early pace at Wentworth Park, and Mac Tux absolutely flew in the early stages. Likewise, Strike a Light. Likewise, Topper Toretto.
Yeah, they were all ran around the 5:40 to the first section. They're brilliant beginners generally. Mac Tux, he's just faultless, and I think he had a great grounding for this series, Duke, coming into it, because he went around in the Richmond Derby seat and made the final, and he was gallant when he finished runner up in the final. Behind Nengar Flame, and I think that really toughened him up a little, because the last section for Mac Tux is his weakest, but he really knuckled down. He was under pressure on Saturday night. He had Astro Zone, the talented WA greyhound, really looming and putting the pressure on down the side of the track and on the home corner. He had to dig in, and he really did dig in out of the latter part of the race. 29.78 his run overall, which was his quickest of the track. When you're running 5:40s the first section, you're going to be leading or contesting the lead. Therefore, you're going to be really hard to run down in a Golden Easter Egg, because if you can run 29.80 in the lead, gee, they've got to run really quick to run you down, Duke. So he's right in the series. Bruce King's done a tremendous job with him.
Yeah, it's that whole mathematics of greyhound racing, to me, that if you're running 5:40 up front and you're running 29.7s overall, you know, for greyhounds to come off the pace, they've got to be running 29.6s, getting runs through the field. And it's not that easy, mate. It's they need plenty of luck. Whereas if you've got dogs like Mac Tux, and as I said, Strike a Light, who just bounced out on Saturday night and ran, I think, 38 or 39 to the first mark, you know they're going to be up near the lead.
Exactly, Duke. Like greyhounds, the Wicked Warriors, the Shimmer Songs, they're all really strong at the end. Star Tirana, they really knuckle down at the end, and they've got the strongest final section, but their best time's around the 29.8. So they've got to get right on the hammer of the leader to run the leader down. If you're trying to gun down a striker light, a Mac Tux, a Topper Toretto, geez, you've really got to get right there at the first turn. And a few of those greyhounds I've just mentioned, they're generally running third, fourth or fifth at the first turn, probably three or four lengths off the lead. So as you mentioned, mathematically, it's basically impossible to run them down when they're running those flying times in front.
Yep, well, the first three place getters out of the heats on Saturday evening and the two fastest force, they've all made their way through to the semi-finals. This Saturday evening, and the box draw for the semi-finals will be conducted later this afternoon with Greyhound Racing New South Wales. The fields are out there as far as the semis are concerned. That's just not in box draw order, but I'm telling you, the fields are absolutely sensational. As I said, the series kicked off last Wednesday evening with heats of the Magic Maiden. Dave Pringle had a night out, prepared three winners on the bounce. Rusty Memories, Watch the Wasp and Midnight Francis, which ran a best of night 29.73. Which of the heat winners, the Magic Maiden, impressed you the most, Timmy?
Dean Swain's Shockwave. I just heard your interview with Dean. Geez, it was brilliant. Definitely the one to follow out of the heats for mine. Those greyhounds you've just mentioned, I think they're going to be better later on in their career, although they sprinted really well over the 520, being fresh first up. But Shockwave really impressed me. It's quite interesting, Duke. When you're on holidays back in January, I spoke to Dean Swain when he won the Wentworth Park Premiership for last year, and he mentioned a maiden greyhound he had, or a young one he had, which was flying, and he was really looking forward to it. He said, Michael Ivers owns, and he said, we've got really high hopes for him. And at the time, I pushed him. I said, oh, have you got a name? He didn't want to produce the name. He said, oh, we want to have a bet when we produce it. Well, it was $1.90 into $1.60
or something,
or whatever it was. And so that was back in early January, Duke. So Dean's known he's had that greyhound getting it set for the Magic Maiden. And he did mention he did hold it back. But I think clearly the one to beat for mine out of those heats. Again, the box draw will play a big part, but it's got good box manners and high speed. And as we know, we've spoken about it many times, at Wentworth Park, you need that, and you're going to win more races than you lose if you're in front of the first turn. And it's definitely the one for mine, Shockwave.
Yeah, well, we've got semi-finals, the Magic Maiden, this Wednesday evening. We've also got the heats of the Group 3 New Sensation. Saturday evening at Wentworth Park, Timmy, it's free entry to get into the track to watch some of the best speedsters in Australia and the best days as well, because we've got the heats of the Association Cup. And then on Easter Egg final night, five people will get a chance to win $100,000. There will be names drawn out after the Golden Easter Egg final is held, and those people will come up. They'll be given the chance to put a four-digit code into a safe, and if they are happy or lucky enough to crack that four-digit code, they win $100,000, and you and I need that definitely.
I'll tell you what, they'll want to put something on the bar after if they do get the 100 Gs.
It's going to be a great night Saturday night, mate. Good calling.
Thanks, Duke. Ta-da.
Timmy Newbowl there with a look at the Golden Easter Egg semi-finals this week, and I'll be trackside for Sky Racing 1.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to Going Greyhounds.
Well, we often hear the big kennels, the names of the Daleys, the Thompsons, the Addison Parties, the McKays, dominating our feature greyhound races around Australia. But such is greyhound racing. It's still possible to have a couple of greyhounds in the backyard, and it's still possible for a hobbyist, only an owner and trainer, to compete against the best in the land when it comes to feature races like the Golden Easter Egg. One of those gentlemen is Glenn McKinlay, who joins us now on Going Greyhounds. Morning, Glenn.
Yeah, good morning.
You don't have a backyard. You've got 5 acres where you train out of Agnes Banks, but you are a hobbyist. You are an owner and trainer along with your partner, Carolyn Hughes, and you're having a great run at the moment with Royal Turbo, who took out the Group 3 Christmas gift final at Wentworth Park last year. He's won 10 out of 21 starts, 6 minor placings, and again, he upset the apple cart on Saturday evening, winning a heat of the Golden Easter Egg in 30.05, beating no less than the reigning Melbourne Cup champion, Ando's Mac. You must be thrilled with the way that Royal Turbo is performing for you.
Yeah, no, he's been going very, very well. And I didn't think he was very happy if he could run in the first three the other night. And he sort of exceeded our expectations.
I guess his greatest attribute and also his greatest downfall is his box manners, because when he begins, he shows sizzling pace. When he doesn't, he misses it badly. I mean, you only need to go back 2 weeks. He ran 5.38 to lead a greyhound like Mac Tux, who came out and also won a heat of the Easter Egg on Saturday night. It must be a little bit frustrating for you in one way, Glenn, that you know how much pace he's got when he absolutely nails the start.
Yes, unfortunately, he's not bulletproof, but he's only a young dog. He's not long term too. And we just keep on working him in the boxes every Thursday before he races, and hopefully he can keep improving.
I mentioned your partner, Carolyn Hughes, and you've had great success, but for you as an individual, you've only been training for, what, 3 or 4 years now?
Yes, I was in New Zealand. I was involved in horses, but when I met Caroline, she's been in greyhounds a long time, so we got a few greyhounds, and basically looking after them and feeding them well and keeping them sound is pretty much the same as the horses.
It is it is really basic stuff, isn't it, when it comes to preparing an animal for that, and it's just how well you do it, which, you know, and obviously how quick the animal is that sort of sets you apart, whether or not you're winning big races or not. But to be involved in a Golden Easter Egg series must be a huge thrill for you and Carolyn.
No, it is. The most of the dogs that are in the finals, generally most of them are prepared by professional trainees, yeah, the parties, etc. But it's a great thrill to have a dog in against those dogs.
As I mentioned, you are only a hobbyist, and you run your own business as well. You've got an antenna business.
That's right. Yep.
Give it a plug, mate, while you can.
It's Antenna Net. We do the whole of Sydney, and we do wall hangings and TVs on walls, etc. So do the whole lot.
How do you combine a full-time business with full-time greyhound training? How tough is it for you?
It is get up early in the morning and basically fit everything in around a schedule. And obviously the thing I've learnt with the dogs is you've got to keep them to a regular routine. And that's what we've done with Royal Turbo. And every week nothing changes. So pretty much we've got the work times and the times to do the greyhounds.
So you're working your business in and around your greyhounds, but of course it could be a $250,000 payday if Royal Turbo was to win the Golden Easter Egg. His semi-final, the greyhounds he's up against this week, as I said, the box draw will be out later. Yes. He's up against Strike a Light, Astrozone, Ando's Mac Again, Full of Rust, Lagoon Jazzy, Dathy Allen, and Eisenhower. Box draw-wise, do you think he's better off suited inside or outside?
Well, you'd like to get an inside draw with him, but to be honest, he pretty much come out of any box. If he's going to come out, he's going to come out. So in a straight line, that field he's up against, obviously the best in Australia, the dogs running on Saturday night, and the dogs you've just mentioned are going to be extremely hard to beat, especially with Ando's Mac, the Melbourne Cup winner, and Strike a Light, the Futurity winner. So those two dogs will be the two dogs in that heat to beat, I'd say.
If you look at his record from the boxes, he's proved himself to be a real box one bandit. He's had it 5 starts. He's registered 4 wins. From box 8, he's had the pink 3 starts for 2 wins. So, as you say, it's just a matter of him nailing the start and putting himself right in the race. As I said, when he leads a greyhound like Mac Tux, when he did 2 starts back running 5.38s, and we just heard Timmy Newbowl saying, you know, it's very tough for greyhounds to run other dogs down when they're running those very fast sections up front, Glenn.
That's right. His attribute of getting in front, he's run 29.88 his best time. Obviously, there's a lot faster dogs out there that can run quicker than him. But if in greyhound racing, there's, you know, all good dogs in one race that can bang into each other and you get a break on them, if anything's possible.
Yep.
It's a big ask, but at the end of the day, it's a great thrill to have a dog in the race.
Oh, I could imagine it would be. And he's run 29.88 twice there. And as I said, if you're running those 5.38s, 5.40s up front, they've got to do a lot of things right to be able to run you down. Best of luck on Saturday night with him, mate. Let's hope he can win his way through to the final. I'm sure it'll be a massive achievement for you as well.
Yeah, well, thanks very much, Mark. And appreciate the call.
Good on you. Glenn McKinley there, who has got Royal Turbo. And as I said, his early pace is his greatest attribute, and he's certainly going to put himself in the field, in the run on Saturday night if he nails that start. All right, Going Greyhounds is brought to you by the 2018 Richmond Riches Race Series. Joining us from Richmond now is Brad Adam, the General Manager. Morning, Bradley.
Good morning, Mark.
I know you've got a smile fairly big on your face because nominations have been rolling in for the 2018 Race Series, but notwithstanding that, we're going to extend them for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, that's right, Mark. Look, obviously, this time last week, I was maybe not smiling as much, but come the last few days of last week, the nominations come flying in. So we're up over 60, close to 70 nominations that have come through. The club has decided to extend for a short period of time. Look, the club is aiming to get to that 100 nomination mark, but with some additional sponsors and those sorts of things, can pretty much ensure the race series is 100% going ahead. There's been great support, and yes, so short extension. So for any of those people that have pups that were born January 16 to June 16, then obviously please go online, find out get the nominations, the terms and conditions, and you'll be able to nominate for a $40,000 2018 Richmond Riches Race Series.
Okay, so there's two ways that people can get a ticket into the race. They can buy a nomination for $275 where they actually nominate a specific dog with an ear brand and a microchip number, or they can buy a race ticket for $440 and that enables them to wait up until a month before May 2018. So come about April 2018, they actually have to nominate the dog. So obviously for those pups whelped from January the 1st to June 30th, 2016, come April 2018, they'll have a fair indication of their ability and they can then nominate them. So $275 for a specific greyhound, $440 for a race ticket. All the details are on the website, Brad?
Yeah, they certainly are. And Mark, the race ticket entry, the tier two ticket, easy for me to say, has been extremely popular, and that's the one that everyone's been jumping on with.
All right, terrific. So that is the 2018 Richmond Riches Race Series. Thanks for joining us, Brad.
Thank you very much, Mark.
All right, go to the Richmond Greyhounds website, richmondgreyhounds.com.au, for all the details in regards to that 2018 Richmond Riches Race Series. $40,000 going to the winner, and we've just heard Brad Adams say it is an absolute goer and a short extension as far as the opportunity to purchase nominations are concerned. Big week coming up in greyhound racing. The Group 2 launching pad semi-finals at Sandown Park on Thursday night. We've got the semi-finals of the Magic Maiden and the heats of the Group 3 New Sensation at Wente on Wednesday evening and then Saturday night. One of the best nights of greyhound racing in New South Wales, anywhere in Australia for that point as well. It's free entry to Wente on Saturday evening, so make sure if you can get trackside, you'll see the semi-finals of the Group 1 Golden Easter Egg, New South Wales' richest greyhound race, also heats of the Group 1 Association Cup. Don't forget that final on April the 15th for the Golden Easter Egg. Someone trackside will get a chance to win $100,000, and you will see 8 of the best sprinters in Australia going around for $250,000. Catching Penn tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. on Sky Racing 2. And on Wednesday evening, a big show of At The Boxes with myself, Jamie Ennis and Timmy Newbold as we preview Sandown Park and also Wentworth Park. But that wraps up Going Greyhounds for this week.